There are also around 100 thumb drives, zip drives, that have all of the budget available at the back table. If there aren't enough by the end of the day, if we don't have enough, we can you can sign up and we can get you one. You can also request a hard copy format if you'd prefer to go through the budget and look at the detailed program, budgets and narratives. We can make that available for you at request also. So just quickly go through here. This is the process that the Tribal Council undertook. April 15th, a memo was sent out to all of the tribal departments from the chairman's office requesting a budget submittal for 2016. May 15th was the deadline for departmental budget submissions. On June 18th, the Tribal Council passed a budget authority resolution which identifies available funds for the upcoming year that can be used to balance the budget. In July, we went through the process of beginning a review of all the submitted budgets. The month of August, we met with the departments regarding their budget submissions. On September 3rd, we approved a draft budget and routed it through the LPA process, the Legislative Procedures Act. We felt like we needed to get something approved, get ourselves on a timeline, force us into having to sit down and dedicate the time and the resources necessary to get that approved. On September 17th, we realized that we were going to need some additional time under the Legislative Procedures Act to allow for more public comment, allow for more of an opportunity for folks to be able to review what was happening. We passed a continuing resolution of the budget, which allowed for the tribal government to continue operating under the 2015 budget for 15 days. That expires actually on October 15th. Again, we've scheduled a special meeting for the 12th. We had one public hearing on September 21st. There weren't a lot of folks there for that presentation or the hearing. We had a second public hearing on September 28th. And we're also here today to have a discussion about the budget during the general meeting. If there are questions or if there are concerns or if there are issues you'd like to raise concerning the budget, now is time to feel free. Again, Monday we'll have a special meeting at 5:30 p.m. to hopefully approve the 2016 budget. If there are questions or concerns that you might have after having reviewed the budget today through the weekend, feel free to attend the meeting and make a pitch for changes or different ideas or things that you'd like to see as a part of the overall tribal budget for 2016. But the hope is, again, like we said, to get it passed in a timely manner. You know, we've seen some of these budgets drag on through the first of the year, and that's not really productive for anyone. So we don't want to drag this process out. We feel like we've had a good discussion with a lot of the programs. We feel like we've compromised on in a number of areas. Obviously, you know, some programs have requested things in their budget that may not be approved. But again, we are committed to working with every program, committed to working with all of the managers to address whatever deficiencies they may have in their programs or areas where they think the Tribal Council could offer some assistance. We're committed to that. We're committed to an open process and sitting down and working with everyone, including the membership. Obviously, you know, if there are priorities of the membership, like we see here as a result of the first general meeting, even in through today, you know, we'll seek to address those as well. If that's in the budget process, then that's what we're committed to doing. So that's a bit of information on the budget. Again, a lot of the information is there at the back of the room. what we have set up is an introduction to some of the current tribal issues that we're facing. These are some of the more pressing things or things that we've identified that we'd like to make some presentations on. We're actually going to do that at the second half of the meeting, but just give you a brief sort of summary of what we will be discussing in the afternoon. The first issue is the two settlement agreements. I think a lot of folks have seen and heard about the recent settlements with the Indian Health Service and the potential for settlement with the Bureau of Indian Affairs related to the Rama Navajo cases. The first informational presentation we'll have is a settlement agreement between the Hoop Valley Tribe and the Indian Health Service, the United States Department of Health and Human Services. The second is the Rama Navajo Chapter, Oglala Sioux Tribe, and Pueblo of Zuni, and on behalf of others similarly situated versus Sally Jewell, Secretary of the Interior, a final settlement agreement. Next presentation we'll have in the afternoon is on nepotism, conflict of interest, tribal ordinance, and policies. That presentation will be provided and offered by Vice Chairman Risling. The nepotism ordinance was identified during the July 11, 2015 general meeting as an ordinance that the membership was concerned about and wanted the tribal council to work on it. I believe also the information is available in the back. Third presentation is a proposal for a cultural advisory board. The tribal museum and the staff at the museum is proposing a cultural advisory committee. The purpose of the cultural advisory committee shall be to formally fulfill the consultation requirements of the Hoop Valley Tribe, tribal member, and other residents of the Hoop Valley Indian Reservation in their undertakings and activities on tribal trust land, tribal trust allotments, and fee patent lands are required pursuant to the National Historic Preservation Act, Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, Hoopa Valley Tribal Cultural Protection Policies and Ordinances, and all subsequent heritage preservation ordinances, policies, or plans. Now that's right out of the language used to create the committee. The committee will ultimately be responsible for advising the Hoopa Tribal Council on issues that have been referred to the advisory committee for review by the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer and the Hoopa Tribal Council. There will be a representative here from the museum staff to offer that report. The final report will be an update on the Tribal Police Department. There'll be a status report on the state of the Tribal Police Department, the Humboldt County Deputization Agreement, the Special Law Enforcement Commission's agreement for trained officers. There's a community-oriented policing services COPS grant that provides for two full-time positions that we recently received. So that will be in the start of the afternoon. Next thing we're going to do is move on to a presentation by our lead planner, Joe Davis, regarding the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy Plan. Before we move on, though, I'd like to offer, again, anyone who may have any questions or comments about some of the things that you've heard this morning, or some of the issues that we've presented, I'd like to offer some time for folks if there's a question or two that you might have.
Good morning.
Morning.
Ken Norton, Hoopa tribal member. In regards to economic development, over the past 2 or 3 years, there has been quite a bit of emphasis placed on carbon credits.
Sure.
And in we know that there has been several consultant firms that came and approached the tribal council in several initiatives and proposals. And some of those folks are, I consider, trying to sell snake oil to the tribe. But there are legitimate proposals that were presented to the tribe, on the acquisition of lands towards the Tishtang area. My understanding that there was a proposal from the Forest Service that over a period of 100 years, the tribe would take some type of maintenance of that land, and then it would return to the tribe. I don't know what the acreage is, but that seemed to be a legitimate proposal. I know that our resource departments allotted a lot of time to that investigation, so I didn't want to lose the momentum of that carbon credits, even though it did have some negative aspects, but it is an opportunity for expansion of tribal lands and economic development. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Yes, in fact, we met yesterday with Forestry Manager Darren Jarnigan and a gentleman from, I forget the name, anybody remember the name? New Forest. They'd been working together on carbon credit proposals or agreements that might be beneficial to the tribe. One thing that the gentleman made or offered in the presentation was that November 1st, there's this state-imposed deadline for the value of a carbon credit, if you will, and also the amount of available credit for the market. We have sent a directive to Forest Manager to work with Brian Schillinglaw from First Carbon to put together a potential project proposal for listing. If we meet the deadline by November 1st, there's no obligation, again, to actually move forward and do anything. It's just a matter of making sure that if this is something that the tribal membership is interested in, is something that we want to explore, it's important that we actually list a project. I don't know a whole heck of a lot about where you would list it, if it's on some kind of registry, I suppose. And then there might be other council members who can offer some additional insight into the issue. But we've asked that something be prepared. We're going to take a look at it and see if that's of an interest to the tribe. I believe the initial listing of a project is going to be around 800 acres. And some of the things that you did talk about as far as acquisition of land off the reservation, there's a huge potential to do that. Green Diamond is in the process now of liquidating a lot of their lands. We had an offer several years ago, you might know about, was Green Diamond had offered the tribe, 7,000 acres on the Supply Creek side of the reservation. The proposal was for $100 an acre, which was quite reasonable for what we would have received. At that time, the discussion was with another gentleman who had come in and offered the same sort of, it was more of a conservancy. They were going to actually front the money or portions of the money if we could come up with a percentage. They'd manage it for a certain period of time and then it would revert back to the tribe. Unfortunately, we didn't move forward with that proposal, but the same types of things are happening. And really the idea is to use carbon credits that are available to the tribe to go out and access and acquire different lands in and around the reservation. So, and then we had a big discussion about, okay, what's the Aboriginal territory? And we're sort of limited to where our Aboriginal territory is. And we said, well, we can always reestablish new territory. I mean, there's no reason why you have to kind of box yourself into a certain area of land. There are other things that you can do. So yeah, that's the discussion is still there. If by November 1st, you know, we're not prepared or don't feel comfortable moving forward, you know, we'll continue to explore the issue. And at the time we feel more comfortable, we'll take an action. So I don't know, does anybody else have maybe anything to offer, Bradley? Or yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of interesting things with the carbon credits. It's a very confusing and complicated process to understand and comprehend because it's selling the credits on an open market, which is going international. The potential for the tribe are tremendous because there currently are no interest loans for up to 30 years. So if we're looking at purchasing property, we can get into that mode of a no interest loan for that property. There's also nonprofits out there that are working with different groups to try to purchase property to get it into the carbon, and then that would become our property as well. This individual that we met with yesterday, Brian, his company will also purchase property with the agreement that we purchase it back at that said price within a number of years. And so it's a way for us to actually gain property both on and off the reservation. In a conversation with Mike, conference calls at 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Mike, I think it was, Mike was talking about protection of the watersheds. So looking outside of our territory and how can we actually gather all of the properties surrounding the watersheds that feed our river and throw those into the carbon credit where we then protect the watersheds. The catch with the carbon credits, though, is that once we put the property into this process, we lock it for 100 years. And we do have some ability within that, but it's pretty much locked up. Some new things that are on the horizon within this is there will be a way for us to get out of this locking down if we choose to. So it's something to really be aware of. It could be a potential area for us to get into more property both on and off the reservation. The money coming back to us off the carbon, it's going to vary, and that's not a lockdown, but for a piece of property it may pay for about 50% of the property within, I think he said 50 years or somewhere thereabouts. So this is a long-term stretch of about 100 years.
Also, I don't mean to keep you there, but the land that has been identified for carbon sequestration at this point are lands that are already, for all intents and purposes, not going to be managed. The view shed, some of the tribal reserves, some of the cultural areas that we have for no cut or management. So this wouldn't be in the parts of the forest that are the annual allowable cut. We would still continue with a lot of the activities that we already are undertaking. So, go ahead.
Okay. My name is Larry Marshall. I was the TARO director for several years, and I and Jasper Hostler had gotten together and invited an attorney to assist the council in regards to taxes. We were trying to get more funding for the various TARO programs, which we were implementing at the time, and Mr. Hostler was the chairman, and we invited an attorney to attend a meeting, and we invited everyone to attend. However, we wasn't very successful. People didn't want any taxes in the valley, so but we did invite a very talented, experienced attorney, and he advised us that we could charge taxes the same as the county does, and raise funds for whatever our concerns were. So I wanted to bring this out, and the fact that they're building non-tribal members that own property in the valley, we tried to negotiate when I was working, when I was the chairman of the health board, to get some property, and he wouldn't even talk to us. In fact, he has land all over Humboldt County, and he still has land down on the Mill Creek area. But I would like for the council to see if they could charge taxes for helping our managing of our valley, and see if we could raise money and make it more difficult for people that aren't tribal members to own property in the valley. That's all I had.
Thank you. The TARO ordinance and the functions of the TARO program is something that we've had a number of discussions about. It's something that we're going to continue to try and address. The current uses of a lot of the TARO tax funds go to support tribal scholarships and those types of activities. So, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about the percentage that's actually charged to both tribal members and non-tribal members. And then there's, you know, the question that you ask, why are some folks being charged the TARO tax and some folks aren't? We do need to address that. We need to figure out ways to, not only that, we have a number of contractors who work for the tribe, are paid by the tribe as a result of whether it's federal funding or some kind of state funding, that don't necessarily work on the reservation but perform functions for the tribe in other areas. You know, and we need to address, well, should we be charging a tax as well to those types of activities? Again, it's like you said, a lot of folks don't agree with the tax. You know, they don't necessarily think that a tax is something that they would support. So it is the TARO tax and the TARO program and the functions of the ordinance are always a part of the discussion.
I did instigate a tax for the monitoring the labor force on all of our housing projects, and I submitted it, but Elsie was the chairperson, and she was afraid we'd lose our housing allocation, so she rejected it, and I had a check over there for $5,000, but she wouldn't let me accept it, and she sent it back to HUD. But anyway, I think that the taxes that we get, I actually manage 101 TARO offices when I worked in Washington, D.C., and I'm pretty familiar with what they can charge and what TAROs can do. So I just wanted us maybe to collect from the non-tribal organizations that own property in the valley or have bought property, and they seem to be intangible in some ways, but I think that we should have full control and be able to tax.
Thank you.
This is going to be really brief. Okay. This is Leanne Estrada. Excuse me, because I came a little late and I did have to leave, so I don't know if this was addressed. The slide that listed what is planned to address the drug problems in the valley on our reservation and our community, the treatment of substance abuse and mental health was not listed. And, you know, the long list of ideas and the plans of actions that were, the needle exchange is really the only act that will help as far as disease control. So what I'm going to ask, but I don't want it answered right now, and possibly later, why are we always so far behind in what we need for services. We're now 15 years behind the scene by requesting that list of what we're planning to do. And, you know, imprisonment right now for nonviolent crimes, for drug use and or sales, won't fix our problem.
I'm not sure she wanted an answer, but go ahead.
So one of the things that I've been working on with Kamel Medical, through one of the negotiations that we've received some money from, is trying to put together a rehab and aftercare center. And talking with the Yurok judge, Yurok and Karuk apparently have already joined together to start creating aftercare. According to the judge, she is part of the Friendship House in San Francisco. So they were looking at that as a way to manage and really structure the program here that they're putting together. And going further, my understanding is Friendship House is one of, I think, four rehabs within the nation that get direct compact funding from IHS to run the program. And so what I've been working on is trying to go down that path to see how we could possibly fit into that program or if we're going to create our own. And so I will be setting up those meetings shortly. I've been chatting with Boydie Ferris and others from Kamel about how shall we structure this so that everyone is included within this to try to put together a comprehensive plan of what we could possibly do. In addition, I mentioned this to Ryan Sundberg the other day, and he said that the county would be very interested, and they have money that they could also assist within this. My response to Mr. Sundberg, though, is that I really want to see what the tribe wants first, and if we're going to work with the other tribes to see what we want to develop before we go down the route of bringing yet other people in. So there is a movement underway to start addressing that issue.
Thanks, Brad. We probably should, if there's not maybe time for one more question, if anybody has one. Okay, go ahead, Norma.
I thought I would bring this up later, but now seems appropriate. Norma McAdams, Hoopa Valley Tribal Member. So at one time, I know working for the tribe, we had explored doing fee basis recovery with Humboldt County. And my question is, you know, why isn't that? We talked about it 3 years ago at the beginning of Danielle's administration, and essentially because we have Ryan Sundberg in there right now who said he would help us. But certainly that's one way we could be doing recovery for tribal police, for child passenger safety, seat belts, for looking at assisting with dog licensing and having a dog officer, as well as arson investigation. There is just many different avenues, but we really need to pursue that. And I'm just asking, why haven't we done that?
I can give you specific reasons why we haven't. Maybe it's a lack of focus on the issue for an extended period of time. You know, we've I think what this council has done is sat down and said, okay, here are the priorities. Let's develop a plan over the next year to try and address the issues that we've identified in the priorities on and how we get there. And again, today is an opportunity to come forward and say, you know, Leanne, yourself, to say, hey, here are some ideas that we think would also be beneficial or should be looked at more closely. But to specifically answer why we haven't, yeah, there are a number of reasons why we haven't done a lot of things here. And it's unfortunate, but I think the commitment from this council and myself is to put in the work necessary to try and address as many of the issues as we can, and issues that are important to the tribal membership. Obviously, you know, substance abuse and drug issues, as well as mental health. Obviously, we know a lot of that comes from mental health problems and a lot of other stuff. But
in those specific priorities, we will try to address as much as we can over a short period of time, and then continue to build on whatever successes that we can achieve. And the things that you also bring up, you know, working with the county and working with Ryan Sundberg, that's important. You know, I've had a number of discussions with him on a number of different issues, and he's open to that, and I think we are too. So I guess what I can say is moving forward, you know, having these types of meetings, having these types of discussions, we will commit to focusing on these issues and working to address them and find solutions. And as quickly as possible, again, tribal government's no different than a lot of other governments. You know, it unfortunately is a slow process, but we're also working to try and become more efficient, trying to say, okay, here's the time frame that we have. Let's focus on the amount of time it's going to take in order to get the issue resolved, and that's what we're committed to doing.
And certainly since he's in office now, we probably should make that a priority. And the other question, the other comment I just had was that we can make a short-term plan for aftercare recovery treatment with our tribe, because we know it takes so much time to work collaboratively with Indian Health Services and with other tribes in the area. But we have a real need here now that we need to address.
No, I agree, and you know, Councilman Marshall is right. There's a motion that's on the table. It's been passed to use a percentage or a portion of the IHS settlement monies to develop a rehabilitation center. I think there are some issues that need to be addressed still in doing that. It's one thing to build the infrastructure for these types of programs, but it's another thing to identify, you know, annual funding, if you will, consistent funding for the operations of a rehabilitation center. You know, then that's, you know, we're committed to that. That's, I mean, obviously we see it as a serious need on the reservation. So, I'm not trying to be dismissive of a rehabilitation center, but before we actually get to a point of breaking ground and building a facility and putting that infrastructure in place, we really need to identify funding that is available to be able to hire the doctors, to hire, you know, the counselors, to hire all of the folks necessary to make sure that it's an organization that's functioning on a high level. And I know we have a lot of people in and around the valley that already do that type of work and probably can fold seamlessly into that organization. But if it's something that we want to expand on, you know, we need to really address some of the funding issues that come along with that. And that's something we are exploring. You know, other programs that are out there within Health and Human Services, Title VI of Indian Self-Determination Education Assistance Act. It's been a long time coming. It's a hard process to break in. It's taken a long time to get into these other programs for the tribe, but it's an area that we are looking into for additional funding. So so we are committed to working on it. Okay, I think we should probably move on to Joe Davis. He's got his SEDS plan, Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. Offer the floor to him until noon or until you're complete. You can come up here, Joe. Or are you going to? It's up to you. Okay. So after this will be lunch. We'll be served at noon, and we'll pick it up in the afternoon. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would like now to introduce the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy. This is a 5-year plan. It has been a very collaborative effort. It's involved a lot of different people. It was something that was in motion prior to me coming to tribal planning. Julia Hostler, was very involved. There was a SEDS committee put in place. This is something that came down from the Economic Development Administration. They have a template of what a SED should be. Getting this 5-year plan done will be something that will open up a lot of opportunities for the tribe in terms of funding and also give us a solid roadmap to follow as far as economic development goes. So back in April, a group of people came together and did what they call a visioning session. You can see a lot of that over here on the board. If you have a minute later, you can check it out closer. But it's really what we want to see within our tribe as far as creating more of a diverse, strong economy here. It's got to be something that's very holistic. It takes into account, things like the drug rehab center, where we can get more people well and more people who are productive members of society that are going to contribute to a strong economy. Also working with education to implement things like business curriculum, business financial literacy into the schools so that we have more kids who can learn those things and eventually grow up to be business owners here in the community. We have Megan Rocha here. She's been a very successful grant writer for our tribe. Recently brought in the CTAS grant that will allow us to get a new courthouse. She's also brought in several other grants for the tribe, but the planning department's been working with her to get this plan done. We've gone out and done surveys and interviews of people who have actually done business here within the tribe, people that have owned businesses here, got a feeling from them of what they see as needs, opportunities, different obstacles here. And we've also been in touch with the Small Business Development Council on the coast. They're going to be coming up and providing business trainings to our locals. And we've also worked with Tribal Credit, and it's a goal of theirs to begin to provide this training here as well on the res, so that we can train our people to become business owners and also make more small business loans available. Also found that the Hoopaw Tribe has a seat on the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission. So we need to fill that seat because that commission provides loans to people who can't get them other places. So that's some of the work that the planning department's done. Megan has created the action plan, and a lot of the people that are on the SEDS committee, including myself, have provided input on that as well. So a lot of people involved in this process, the Office of Self-Governance as well, the Tribal Council has had input. And so without any further ado, turn it over to Megan now. She's going to present a PowerPoint and give you guys a better idea what this is and hopefully get some input as well on what you guys would like to see included in this.
All right, thank you, Joe. Good morning, everybody. As Joe said, my name's Megan Rocha, and I am a consultant that's been working with the tribe on grant writing, project development, and was brought in to help with developing the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS. So what I plan to do today is just kind of go over what's the purpose of the SEDS, the process that we've taken, and then identify opportunities for you guys to give input before it's finalized. So just in general, the purpose of a SEDS is a strategic planning document designed to guide the economic growth of the tribe. And this particular effort is funded through a planning grant from the Economic Development Administration. And so there are certain requirements that we must follow that are provided from EDA in our document and in the process. But it is really the most important thing about this is that it fits the needs and values of the tribe and the community. So why are we going through this process? What really are the benefits of doing a SEDS? So the result should be a regional strategy with an action plan to strengthen and diversify the economy. It should guide the efforts of the tribe and facilitate coordination with private industry and other community partners in order to leverage resources and enhance opportunities. So it's really making that connection between government and private sector. As a result of having a SEDS document, the tribe can receive funding to facilitate and development the implementation of it. And typically, funders are looking for a comprehensive community planning process to have occurred for any grant that the tribe is seeking to receive. And for EDA in particular, this is actually a requirement for their funding. So recently in June, EDA changed the requirements of the SEDS. So we kind of had to switch gears a little bit in what is actually going to be in the final document. But there's essentially four parts that need to be included. So a summary background that really talks about the regional economy and then particular to the Valley. There needs to be a SWOT analysis, which looks at the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the local economy. The strategic action plan, which is really kind of the meat of the document. This is really going to tell you guys, you know, what are the strategies, what are the particular actions, who's responsible for what, what's the timeline, and what potential funding could be sought to complete those actions. And that draft action plan has been provided to you guys up at the table. And we'll look at that in a little bit of detail. And then there also needs to be an evaluation framework. So every year, you know, the council should be using this document to see, you know, whether or not particular actions have been accomplished and have performance measures in those to assess that those accomplishments. So some other requirements, let's go back one sec. So some other requirements, and again, these are from EDA, is that there's a new consideration of economic resilience. So how is the local economy going to be resilient, for example, in times of natural disaster? There's a requirement that you must have a strategy committee, which is called the SEDS committee, and this is typically comprised of public officials, workforce development folks, institutions of higher education, private industry. There's also a 30-day public comment period, and that is on the entire SEDS document. So that will be occurring in about a month or so. We'll kick off that 30-day public comment period. It also must actually be approved by EDA, so not necessarily content, but just you know, making sure that, that each of those areas have been adequately covered. And then, like I said, every year the tribe will look back at this document and assess performance on an annual basis. And then in 5 years, the entire SEDS needs to be updated and reviewed. So that's kind of the requirements from EDA. And then what has been the approach that, that the tribe has taken? So obviously it needs to be specific to the needs, interests, and advantages of the tribe and of the Valley. And this is really a big one that we really tried to hit on, is that it cannot just focus on economic development as an isolated activity. Okay, so there's lots of things that sort of go into what might be considered economic development. A lot of that has to do with community development, workforce development, education, training, different things. Governance and administration systems are very important elements of that as well. So we tried to look at this more holistically and not just sort of in an economic development box, if you will. And then really we tried to build off the foundation of what's known as the principles of nation building or nation rebuilding. And so we'll look at that just in a moment.